I think the last time I was in Jersey City, I don't know, it was a few months ago, right? Remember I went over there to the mall, the Newport Center Mall, to try to see that movie from India, Kalki, and then like 2707 AD or some date. Remember this movie? I did eventually see it a few weeks after that. It's a good movie. It's like a sci-fi epic from India. But remember, I went over there, and I think, what did I do? I parked at the train station at Delawana in Clifton, took the train to Hoboken, then took the light rail from Hoboken to the mall there. There's a light rail stop at the mall, and went up to the food court, got some lunch, and went over to the theater, and they're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we can't show that movie today. The projector broke. Remember that? And they gave me those vouchers. I still have those vouchers. I'm afraid I'm going to lose them. They're good for one free movie. But I've gone to the movie since, and I forgot to use them. See, these darn free vouchers. Probably half of the ones out there, just like me, people lose them, forget about them. What do you want? I don't know. But yeah, I was thinking about, you know, how, like, Jersey City has always been, like, sort of a very... kind of an important place for me. There's been several phases in my life where I went there a lot, but I guess I don't really go there anymore. I mean, part of the interest of Jersey City is the mall there, of course, Newport Center Mall, and the PATH train, of course, goes to Jersey City. The PATH train, P-A-T-H, which stands for Port Authority Trans-Hudson. Yes, the Hudson River. So the Port Authority, this organization that sort of straddles the two states, New York and New Jersey. It's sort of this weird, it's a weird sort of semi-governmental agency. I remember my roommate in college when I went to NYU, this guy Andrew, who went on to become a lawyer. I almost meant to try to get in touch with him. That was so weird. I lived with him for like a year or 2 years, you know, as my roommate. And then we kind of lost touch after college, you know. Whatever happened to Andrew? I don't know. Anyway, he was working at the World Trade Center because back then, when I was in college, the Twin Towers were still erect. They're still standing. It was well before 9/11, which happened in 2001. I was in college in the 1980s. This was like, you know, I was there from like 87 to 89 because I did the first 2 years of college. I went to Drew University in Madison, New Jersey. Then I transferred to NYU Film School. Yes, but I only went to film school for 2 years, so you can only learn so much about film in 2 years. Anyway, wow, that's a long time ago now. Is that a long time ago? Is the 80s a long time ago? I guess so. Yes, it is. It's a long time ago. What do you want? In 1980, what is it? 2025 now. So 1985 is 40 years ago. What do you want? It's the way it works. It's just simple math. But is it though? Is it really only 40 years ago? You know, that's a very linear view of time. You know, to say it's 40 years ago, because you know, like, you could have a dream that lasts for years and years, and then you forget it. So. Would you add those years on to the amount of time that you've experienced? I don't know. And then, of course, my theories about branching timelines, alternate timelines, all that sort of stuff. You know what I'm saying, right? Where it may not be a straight path between, you know, 1985 and 2025. It may have been, I mean, this might be a personal thing, but like sort of like, you may have tried out many different avenues. Like maybe you tried 1994 about 15 times before you got it right. You know, something like that. Rewinding time, fast forwarding time. So who knows if maybe 1985 was like 1,000 years ago. I don't know. Excuse me, I'm smoking a cigar out here. It's way too cold to be smoking a cigar outside, but I want an acid cigar, a little acid cigarillo. So I'm sitting on my porch with all my winter gear on as it is freezing out here. It's like 20-something degrees out. But with a wind chill, it's in the teens Fahrenheit. The wind has been whipping around it. Of course, every night where it's... We have to put the bins out for your recycling and the trash pickup. There's some sort of weather anomaly every single time, okay? It's sort of like it doesn't rain all week. And then you put your bins out and then it just rains like a torrential downpour. especially raining down on your cardboard and producing that rather unpleasant material known as sopping wet cardboard. But you don't have to worry about it because the people pick it up and they have to deal with the sopping wet cardboard. It's not your problem anymore. Yeah, I'm telling you. Or like today, it's another thing is windstorms. Every time people put out their papers and the cans and stuff to recycle, there's these massive windstorms and everything gets blown all around the town, okay? What the hell, man? And now we have these giant garbage bins that the town gave us, and they say they're going to have these like rope, some kind of like robotic garbage trucks that are they're going to pick up the garbage cans with this giant claw. They haven't done that yet. We have to use them. It's the rule. You have to use the giant garbage cans that the town gave you now. But they haven't. Where is this robot garbage truck? Is nowhere to be seen. Okay. What do you want? Ah. Anyway. I have this Christmas tree that's been on my porch here, and it just keeps blowing over no matter what I do. The wind is just blowing it over every single time. I don't know what to do at this point. I think it's about time to put the Christmas stuff away. I mean, obviously, it's what is today? It's January 8th, I think. A Thursday, I think. That's it. I'll have to double check. I have my gloves on right now. I can't get my phone out of my pocket. Acid cigars. It's not really acidic. It's not like burning your mouth. It's like, it is actually on fire. It's a cigar, but, you know, it has like herbal essences in it, okay? It's very delicious. It's like a flavored cigar. Acid. Yeah, these cigars are pretty dry. I haven't been humidifying them properly. You can still smoke them, though. It's fine. They might crumble when you touch them, but they're still fine, yes. So yeah, Jersey City. I mean, I'm trying to remember when I first started going over there. Yeah, I think it's... I'm trying to think, because to go to Jersey City on the PATH train, there's several stops. I mean, there's Pavonia Newport, which is now called Newport, but it was called Pavonia originally, and then it was called Pavonia Newport. That's the one by the mall. I don't really know what that area was like before they built the mall, and it's like a whole complex there. Newport, it's like, you know, condos, apartment buildings, shopping centers, other sorts of stores, maybe like a BJ's wholesale club, one of those kind of places, you know. That part of Jersey City really was revived as it's this beautiful waterfront right across from Lower Manhattan. Just jaw-droppingly beautiful view of New York City. So that part has been on the up and up, you know. I know there's other parts of Jersey City that are still struggling a bit. But there's also Exchange Place, right? This is a PATH stop right by the water as well, but a bit to the south of there. Yeah, Exchange Place. It's right across from the World Trade Center. Because there's two lines that go from Manhattan, right? There's one that goes straight from World Trade Center into New Jersey, and that stops at Exchange Place first. The other one is the 33rd Street line that stops, I believe, at Newport first. If I get the map straight in my mind, yeah. And then, of course, there's Journal Square. Right, Journal Square is sort of like the Times Square of Jersey City, but it's not quite as nice as Times Square. Well, Times Square has, you know, has had its ups and downs. These squares are all named after newspapers, you know, like Times Square, the New York Times, Herald Square, the New York Herald, which doesn't exist anymore, I don't think. So I have to puff on my cigar, and of course, Journal Square. The Jersey Journal, which may still exist. I don't know if that still exists. Newspapers, man. They're still making newspapers. Can you imagine? They're still making newspapers today in 2025. They still print newspapers. It's like a dying art form, but I haven't had an actual newspaper for quite some time. But as I've been saying, I do want to get an issue of USA Today one of these days. And I saw one in person when I went to see Fish a week or two ago, you know. There's this newsstand in Pennsylvania Station there that had USA Today, which is still being printed. I just can't imagine how many people are buying USA Today for them to, like, have a whole printing plant printing copies and distributing them and loading them on trucks and everything, right? I guess it must be working for them. I don't know. But, yeah, that's wild. Ooh, what's going on with this cigar? Ooh, it's just something got kind of a nasty flavor from that just now. Oof, what the hell? It tastes like burnt rubber in a bad way. Yeah, so, Journal Square. And then from there, it goes on to Harrison, which now there's a Major League Soccer stadium in Harrison right there. And then you go over a river, and then you're at the end of the line there at Newark Penn Station. Yes. So it's all very confusing. You have New York Penn Station, then Newark Penn Station. They're two totally separate train stations, New York and Newark. Who thought that was a good idea? I don't know. I guess. Do they check? Like, if you're going to make a new business, you got to check that no one else is using the business name for your trademark, right? What about if you make a city? I'm assuming New York was like, well, I know it was New Amsterdam at first, right? Then they named it after the city of York in England, making it New York. I don't know the history of Newark. But don't you think one or the other had to come first? And they're like, isn't this a little too similar to the other one? Maybe let's not call it Newark, because we're so close to New York. You know, I'm sure there's some theories about that anyway. So I think that's the thing for me is that when I started commuting into work in 1990, essentially, it's interesting because that tape land I put out, the On Noyage tape land when I was driving to the Phillipsburg Mall, that was right before I got a job in New York City. I got a job down at 150 Varick Street at a prepress shop called Imaging International that specialized in flexo, like printing on flexible materials. Like, you know, you have like frozen green beans in that plastic bag. So when they print that, it's a special process because, right, you might imagine there's all these sheets of plastic they have to print and then cut up and seal in some way and then put the beans in. You know what I'm talking about. But like as you're printing the, as you're printing it on the printing presses, it's a very flexible material, so it kind of stretches a little bit. So when you do your color separations, you know, when you create the printing plates, right, you have to sort of accommodate for that stretch, and that was like one of their specialties there. And I worked on I was on the computer side. I was worked on the desktop publishing side, as that was very new back then. The much cheaper computers you could get to do print, create printing plates using image setters, right, as opposed to the dedicated systems such as the Cytex, and the Hell was another company, and because I think Hell, doesn't that mean light in German or something? Hell. Macbeth is another one of those companies, like all these printing companies. But to have Photoshop back then, pre-1990, you needed to buy a machine that cost like $1 million in 1989 dollars, which is probably like $2-3 million today because of inflation. So when I started, Photoshop had not come out yet. There was a thing called Pixel Paint. So I had Photoshop 1, I think Illustrator 1. I was there at the beginning of all this stuff, okay? I'm still using these programs, you know, at work. It's, you know, Adobe has maintained a stranglehold on the whole thing. But, yeah, so I would... from where I lived in Bridgewater, I was living with my parents at the time. I would have to take the train from either... I would go down to Somerville or Bound Brook. I don't know if I parked or if my father drove me. But from there, you take the train to Newark. But those trains at the time, those lines, the Raritan Valley line, was that particular train line was not electrified. So they had used diesel engines. But the diesel engines weren't allowed to go into the tunnel under the Hudson River to go into New York because, right, the diesel fumes would cause havoc in that tunnel. You just can't have that. Everyone's going to, like, pass out and die or whatever. So you can't do that. It was only fairly recently, I think in the past 10 years, maybe more, I'm not sure, that they actually invested in buying a dual diesel-electric locomotive, which now, so the trains from Somerville, for example, can go in to New York City because they run on diesel. Then when they're at Newark, they switch over to electric and they can go through the tunnel just fine. Whoa, my God. They're going way too fast down the street. What the hell's wrong with them? What the hell's wrong with them? Anyway. Yeah, so... What was I saying? So, yes. So, right, at that time, right, so the train would terminate at Newark Penn Station, and then you could switch to get another train going into New York, so you'd have to wait at the platform, get another train, like, you know, the Northeast Corridor line, you know. Or you could go on the PATH, which was actually cheaper, I think, at the time. PATH was really cheap back then. It was like 90 cents or something, or a dollar or something like that. And for where I was going, which was downtown, it was a better deal. Because if I went to New York Penn Station, I would have had to take a subway down, probably the E train, you know, the E or the C train, to Spring Street, because the A doesn't stop there. Yeah. So I would take the PATH to... I'm trying to think where I took the PATH to. Christopher Street? Or I could take it to World Trade Center and get a subway up from there. I think that's probably what I did. I probably went to World Trade and then got a subway up. I could have gotten the E train right there. That's probably what I did. I probably got the E, not the C. The C doesn't go to World Trade, so it was the E train. That station is still there, and in fact, you know, I used to go through the World Trade Center so much before the 9/11, which refers to September 11th, the year 2001, when the World Trade Center got blown up, as you may recall, or not. If you're in the future listening to this, you may not know what 9/11 is, but when you're at the E train stop, I mean, I haven't been there in a year or two, so, but when you go inside the World Trade Center from there, the sort of beige stone stairs, those were original from the original World Trade Center, right? Those main were there. They weren't, like, physically destroyed. In fact, a lot of the World Trade Center underneath wasn't physically destroyed. They just tore it all down to rebuild it because these buildings had fallen on top of it, they had to, you know, demolish it all to rebuild it all. You know what I mean? But that's, like, that's original there. And they also kept an original door. They sealed it in plexiglass, and it's like a museum display. Uh-oh, here comes a garbage can rolling down the street. Oh, God. It's a blustery day, as Winnie the Pooh would say, yes. Did this cigar go out? No, come on. Okay, still going. I don't want to take my gloves off to have to relight it, so. Something's wrong with this cigar. It went bad in some way. I don't know. Anyway, so I think that's how I kind of got to know Jersey City because, right, from Newark, if I was going to World Trade, right, I would have gone Harrison and then, I believe, Exchange Place and then World Trade Center, if I'm not mistaken. Is there another one in there? I don't know. They may have opened another one at one point, another station, but anyway, I don't know when I would have... And I think around that time is when the Newport Mall opened. So I think I may have just been aware of it and went there. I don't remember. It's weird. Anyway, so then I moved out. I went to... When I moved out of my parents' house, it was like 93... I moved to Island, New Jersey, and I was within walking distance of the Metro Park train station in Island. Usually they name the train station after the town. In this case, they named it Metro Park. I don't know what Metro Park is. I think it was sort of like an office plaza zone kind of area. I think they called it Metro Park as a way to sort of sell people on moving their businesses there. Yeah. So that was on the Northeast Corridor, which is the main train line going up and down the East Coast, right? So you could take a train from Boston all the way down to Washington, D.C., and even down to Florida, you know. Amtrak does all that, you know. So you'd always have the Amtrak trains going on there as well. And, hold on. So that goes right into New York City. So from there, where was I working at that time? I don't know. I had many different jobs in New York City. But after there, then I moved all the way down to Plainsboro, and I would drive over to the Princeton Junction train station, super far away, insane parking, and if you got a monthly pass on New Jersey Transit, you could actually take some of the Amtrak trains. Amtrak trains would stop at Princeton Junction. So I would sometimes take Amtrak to work, which was weird. That was kind of a cool memory. But the trains were so crowded, I recall having to sit like in the vestibules for like an hour because there were no seats. And I had this really groovy like laptop computer. It was the Macintosh PowerBook 150. It was a dark gray plastic with a little, that little ball, the little track ball, right? And I love that. I still have it. I still have it, and I think it still works. I haven't turned it on in a couple years, but that was a cool little early portable computer. It was very groovy at the time, very state-of-the-art computer, you know. Then after that, I moved up to Clifton up here. What is wrong with this cigar, man? It's like, tastes nasty. I think we're done with this cigar. This cigar is like done. Ah, God, what happened to that cigar? Ah, ugh, nasty. Ah, anyway. So yeah, from when I was in Clifton, then I, which is not far from here, actually, I would take, I believe it's the 192 bus. And that you take that, and there was a park and ride. But where I was living, I could walk to the bus, right? But it was sort of like a 10-minute walk, and this was a big apartment complex. I lived sort of on the other side of the complex, so sometimes I would park nearer, because I was a resident of the complex. I would park nearer to the bus stop, and then I would go from there. But these people started thinking I was like someone from the outside, illegally parking there, and I don't know if it ever got resolved. I was trying to write a note in my window. I am a resident of these apartments. I decided to park over here instead of over there, and it was a whole thing. Then at one point, my Jeep got stolen, but it was, it must have been, I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, yeah. So then I met my wife, Denise, and we got married, and then we moved over here to Nutley. But where I was... So there was... So when did I... All right, I'm getting confused here, because I parked in the park-and-ride lot, and my Jeep got stolen. It wound up on some sort of back road in Newark, New Jersey. And I had to go retrieve it. It was a whole thing. I think... I must have talked about that in the early days of the Overnightscape. I forget when that was, but... Generally, I would just walk to the bus from there. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, there was a time, rewinding now back to... this is how I got into Jersey City. So when I was living at home with my parents, instead of... let me try to remember this. Instead of taking the train, I would actually drive to... either Journal Square, which has this parking garage, and it's this beautiful brutalist structure, and then you go down Journal Square, and there it's like it's so cool. It's like very mind-boggling. It's sort of like this weird cave kind of thing, and the PATH trains go in there, but it's not really, they're not underground at that point. They're sort of going on the surface, right? But Journal Square is like sort of cut out of the rock, and it's like brutalist architecture and right, just the raw rock walls, and then and then the PATH train would come through there, and then also there was a freight train line that went through there. So sometimes you're waiting for the PATH train, there's just huge freight trains going through. It's a whole thing. I don't know, pretty wild. So sometimes I would park there, and I do remember. Oh my God, this wind is insane. I do remember what was I saying? Hold on a second. This wind is like... Ah. Yeah, because I remember it was hard to get home from there. It was easy. I guess I would drive down 22 and then try to get on the Pulaski Skyway, which was kind of like 19, and then you could take an exit and go to Journal Square. But getting home, I always remember it was hard. It was kind of hard to find the entrance to the Pulaski Skyway from there. I always got lost in downtown Jersey City. And then one time I broke down in Jersey City, and I wound up in this real bad area, and there was I wound up taking the... Somehow I got the car to a garage, and just, I just had this vision of this guy. He opened up... I don't know how true this is, but I would tell my cousins this story, and they would crack up, because like, I was in this bad area of Jersey City. The car broke down, and the guy... Somehow the guy... This sounds like a dream, but the guy at the service, at the gas station that was trying to repair my car, he opened the hood of the car, and I think he had like a... It looked seemed like a giant screwdriver. He was like bashing it into my engine. He was like bashing it up and on, motherfucker! Like bashing my engine. Like, what was that all about? Somehow it fixed the car, though. That doesn't make any sense. Sort of stabbing the engine with a giant screwdriver, like, fixed the car. That was, and I think that was not a dream. That was real. Anyway. And then I would stop on the way home at this place called Boatcraft, this amusement park on Route 22, which is now condos or apartment buildings or whatever. It's so annoying. All the cool amusement parks get torn down and they build apartment buildings there. Just like the one that was up on the Palisades Park, which I never went to because I think it was gone before I was too old, you know. There's an amusement park up there on those cliffs over there in Englewood or Englewood Cliffs, wherever the hell that area is. And now it's apartment buildings. I think it's called the Galaxy 1 and the Galaxy 2. I went there once. It was weird. It was like this whole little society inside an apartment building. They had like ice cream parlors and movie theaters like in the lobby of this apartment building that used to be, and on the spot that used to be an amusement park. But I went to Boatcraft, which was an amusement park, but they had an incredible arcade at that time in the early 90s. I used to go there after work. It was like the winter, so it wasn't really that late, but it was like maybe 7, 8 o'clock. I would stop and play pinball. They actually had a pinball basement, and that was when the game Funhouse was pretty new. Remember Funhouse with that little puppet head Rudy? I used to play pinball, then go home from there. But then, at some point, you could also, I must have found this out, you can actually park at the mall. You had to pay wherever you park, but you had to pay to park at the mall. But I think at some point I preferred going to the mall, the Newport Mall, than going to Journal Square. So I I would park at the mall, and it wasn't that expensive, right, at that point. Walk through the mall, then you had to walk through over to the Pavonia Newport station. And right there was this whole thing there. There was like this abandoned field with this chain link fence tunnel they built through this field. This is before they built all those office buildings there. And there was something about that walkway that felt supernatural in some way. It always sort of comes to mind. And then eventually they built these office buildings, but they kept that tunnel as like this weird breezeway through the building. Remember, I discovered that back in 2015 when I had been laid off before I got a new job a few months later. Well, the place I'm still working now, yeah. The fashion company. So, at that time, in the early 1990s, I would walk through the mall, take the PATH train, probably, again, over to World Trade. And yeah, because you could go either way from there, right? And then I would take wherever I was working. I worked on Varick Street for all the 90s, basically. So I was probably just getting the E-train from World Trade to go up there. Unbeknownst to me, Denise, who would become my wife a number of years later, was working at the mall, at the photo studio at the mall. I could have seen her. I could have walked by her photo studio. We could have, like, seen each other years before we actually met. It's one of those things where, you know, just like my wife's brother, his wife, Karina, her family used to go down to the same town, used to have a beach house in the same town that that their family had. So they didn't know each other, but they could easily have encountered each other. It's like one of those kind of things, you know. Anyway, what's this, low battery already? What's going on here? Hold on, let me pause and start again, so, because this low battery condition, what's going on here? Come on. Very cold out here. Anyway, Yeah. So then, the other big thing for Jersey City for me was when I, in 2009, when I got a show on that radio station, WFMU, the hipster radio station, and they were right there on Montgomery Street, not far from Exchange Place, in fact. So I did visit them from Exchange Place a few times. But generally, I would drive there. It was, how would I get there? It was like, because my air shift was from 2 to 6 a.m. on Saturday mornings. You can hear all these shows. They're in the archive. It's called The Rambler on WFMU. And, I think I would head out around 12:30. I would have worked that day, and then, like, on my way home from work, I would take a Benadryl so I could fall asleep, sleep for a few hours, get up around 12:30, drive over to the station, and find a parking spot, get prepared for the show. And a lot of times, I was the only person in the whole building when I was doing my show. I think they owned the building, right, at Montgomery Street. I did my show. It only lasted that 1 year, but I remember especially fun, like, driving home from Jersey City. My show was done at 6, so I would probably head out around 6:30 or so after I had this huge show bag, this huge, like, duffel bag with all the stuff I brought for the show, and I worked so hard on that show. Then they canceled the show, so great. Thanks a lot, FMU. But I think it was for the best, because I think that had I not had that sort of ultimately kind of negative experience where I worked so hard and then they just canceled the show because I wasn't enough of an insider, I think that was kind of like the bottom line. I think I would have probably, it would have hindered this project, which eventually became On Sog Radio, as you know. I would have continued doing stuff at FMU, you know. At that point, I don't think I would, if they didn't cancel the show, I would have just kept doing the show there, you know. That would have been a very different timeline. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, the drive home in the morning. So it was very, very cool, because it was like real early in the morning. It was Saturday morning, right? Not a lot of traffic. Going up the turnpike, and usually just from the turnpike getting on Route 3 and getting home that way. And I do find that interchange there of Route 3 and turnpike has very good energy. I like that whole area. I'm very sensitive to the energies where I drive. You know, it's like sort of magical energies that are around. That's one way of looking at it. It could just be the things I was thinking about or the associations I make with those places, you know. But I still find that a rather pleasant interchange. But then that one morning, I tried to... They closed the bridge that goes over, you know, by what's now American Dream. I guess American Dream was not open yet. It was built. It was the husk of it was still sitting there, right? That's a whole other thing. That mall they built, currently known as American Dream, it was... I think around 2008 they had to abandon it because of the financial meltdown. So apparently there was a fatal car crash on that bridge and they shut it down. So I had to turn around. I got back on the turnpike north thinking I'd get on, and I got on Route 46 westbound, this has always puzzled me, because I was driving down this road this early Saturday morning for seemingly like hours, going through all these weird different towns and places and underpasses, and it seemed way too long. I think I may have slipped into another dimension or something. I know I talked about this on the show because I was, you know, well, actually, yeah. That was a weird time for this show, because I think at that time I wasn't doing the overnight escape. It was probably on the Rambler I would have talked about that whole thing that happened. And I've tried, I know I could just try to recreate it, and I think I did try to do it again, but it wasn't the same. I don't know, that very, very weird memory, very, very bizarre situation there. The weird phantom other dimensional road I went on, I don't know. Maybe I was just tired and I was just a little incoherent, I don't know. But then I would get home and I needed to wind down before I went to sleep. I guess I would sleep all day, you know. And I remember I had my ritual, and I still remember this, because this is sort of a, you know, I've been talking about super listening, the whole super listening concept, where you do something while you're listening to something else. This is a classic super listening situation. So there was a show on FMU called Shut Up Weirdo. And it was this guy, I forget his name, but he was friends of Ken, who was the head guy at the station. And then this woman, I think her name was Fran or Franny or Francine or something. And they had the show called Shut Up Weirdo. And it was a great show. So I would listen to the recording of that show. And then I would play on my Dreamcast. I had burned a Dreamcast emulator. A PlayStation 1 emulator on the Dreamcast. And I would play R4 Ridge Racer Type 4 and listen to Shut Up Weirdo every morning after my show. It was very, very precious memories for me doing that. Yeah. Jersey City, man. And now Jersey City is getting really popular. Like, one guy I work with, he's like a young guy, and he was living, and I don't know where he's living in Manhattan, but he moved over to Jersey City because I guess a lot of people are moving over to Jersey City, especially the nice new apartment buildings right across the river from Manhattan. So that area is definitely on the up and up. There are still some bad areas there, as I recall. And then, yeah, I remember. Oh, I missed a whole huge portion of my commuting life to Jersey City. There was a time around 2000, I think, and because in one of my poems I mentioned it was the time of light rail and tell me was this phone service. It was 1-800 tell me. That's not enough letters. T-E-L-L-M. I forget exactly what it was. But you would call it up, and it was like this, sort of like this audio-based like service where you could get all this information. You get like a horoscope, the weather, the time, movie listings. It was called Tell Me. You'd call up and be like, tell me. And you could even call it from like a payphone. It was free. It's a whole thing. So the light rail was pretty new back then. And when I say light rail is... It's like a train system, but it goes on sometimes on the regular streets with the cars. You know what I'm talking about, like trolleys they used to call them. I don't know, but so there was a big parking lot. It was a Liberty State Park, not far from the Liberty Science Center, and there was a station there. So for the first year they opened the parking lot, they decided to promote the parking lot and for people to commute in there for that way. It was free, right? The parking lot was free for a whole year. So I used to park there. And again, you would drive down, drive down the turnpike to get there. Again, it was that turnpike extension, the 14 extension there. I remember one time trying to get home. I was stuck. Traffic was at a standstill because the vice president was in town, and of course they had to shut down the entire turnpike because Al Gore was in town, right? In 2000, right, Al Gore was still vice president because in 2000 was the election of Al Gore versus George W. Bush. And that was that very contentious election where they had the hanging chads and remember all that stuff? And eventually Bush won. Even though Gore won the popular vote, but yeah. Anyway, so I would park there and I would take the light rail, and I think I would take it to Harborside, right? Financial Center. I would walk through Harborside, which was like this office building, but they had like stores and this whole food court area, and then they had a ferry dock there. So I took the ferry over to World Financial Center from there, walked through probably going to the getting coffee at the Mercantile Exchange and walking through World Financial Center, the Winter Garden, over to the World Trade Center, then over to the E train, and then up to work, right? Yeah, I think that's how it worked. So in fact, that's one of, so I would commute that way. I'm trying to think here. Yeah, so around 9/11, My wife was working at a doctor's office, so if she was working at a doctor's office that day, she'd drop me off at the Passaic train station. I would take the train to Hoboken, then take the ferry over. So this would have been, yeah, a little bit after the other thing I was talking about. But anyway, all these memories of commuting with Jersey City involved. That day, I was taking the bus, right? And I heard about what was going on the radio, got off the bus. That was the thing. The bus was in Lyndhurst, New Jersey. I was listening to Howard Stern. Heard that some planes hit the World Trade Center. Didn't know any details yet. This woman stands up. She was towards the front of the bus. She's like, "Hey, everyone, listen. My dad's a cop in New York. He said, get off the bus now. Something's going on. You don't want to go to New York today." She got off. I got off. Every other person stayed on that bus, and it just went continuing on. Can you imagine? What do they think? Oh, she's full of crap. Even people that were... There were people listening to the radio. They knew stuff was going on. They just stayed on the bus. Who are these people? NPCs? I mean, what's going on? Anyway. But in 2003, I must have still been... parking at that, would I have done that? Yeah. I think I was still parking at that Liberty State Park parking lot, even though I had to pay at this point, because on my way home one day on March 13th, 2003, which was a Thursday, I wrote these notes on my little Palm Pilot about, oh, maybe I should start a new show called The Overnightscape, and then I started it that night, right? That's sort of the history of this show. So actually, the name of this show, The Overnightscape, was invented on the light rail in Jersey City, as far as I can remember. So Jersey City has been a pretty important place for me over the years, yeah. I'm still outside. I've been out here for a while now. Anyway, today's episode is called Towel Volcano. And how did this happen? Well, the other day in the morning, in my bathroom, I was taking a shower. There was a towel on the ground. And I looked at it, and I'm like, it looks like a volcano. So I took a picture of it. I love that phrase, towel volcano. And I'm like, maybe this will be the next show art. And I took that picture and I just sort of silhouetted it. I silhouetted by hand using the lasso tool, the straight line lasso tool in Photoshop. I know I could have used AI, but I'll just do it by hand for like old time's sake, you know. Silhouing it by hand. I used to love that's a very fun thing to do, silhouing things with the straight line lasso tool in Photoshop. Anyway, and I got sort of a public domain image of the night sky, and I thought I want the font Letraset Synchro. I found it, put it on there, and it's a towel volcano. It's a towel that looks like a volcano, and I realized it was kind of like this was just yesterday, in fact, yeah, yesterday morning. So that towel volcano is like an accidental shape, and like as soon as you pick it up, it can never be in that shape again. So it's kind of like this brief pattern that a towel was in, and it just accidentally looked like a volcano. Anyway, that's the story of that. And that'll be it for today's first part of the show. Right? They don't all have to be super long. Like, my rule for the show is that the first part has to be a little over 40 minutes, and then the other side is a little over 40 minutes. That's, like, the structure of the show. Usually the first part of the show is a lot longer. But today, I got a real late start, and... Oh, my God, look at this garbage can flying across the street. What the hell? Look at that. It was just sailing across the street. What the hell? That is creepy, man. Hell, I gotta go to the supermarket. Anyways, thanks so much for that's unrelated to the garbage can going across the street. Me having to go to the supermarket and the garbage can flying across the street. Note to self: look for flying garbage cans as you go to the supermarket. Anyways, thanks so much for patching into this episode of The Overnightscape. I'm your host, Frank Edward Nora, here in Nutley, New Jersey. Let me just verify the date here on my phone. Thursday, January 9th. Oh, I was wrong. Yeah. Yeah, it's Thursday, January 9th, 2025. Yeah, I'm not used to the 2025 yet, you know. It's hard to remember the year in early January. But Yeah, so we're here in OnSug Radio. You can just go to OnSug.com for all the information. The idea is that this is a book called OnSug Radio that is the container for all the audio, right? Conceptually and eventually actually. But you can actually buy this book now. Just go to OnSug.com. You'll see it's O-N-S-U-G.com, short for Overnightscape Underground. You will see that you can buy the book off Amazon. It's print on demand. It's under $13. Buy many copies. Put them on many bookshelves if you can. You can also download a PDF of the book, which is greatly expanded to over 4,000 pages with all of the show notes of all the shows. We have over 11,000 shows, over 15,000 hours of content here in OnSug Radio. It really is a unique project. I don't think there's anything else like it in this dimension, this timeline, or anywhere else. I'm sure there's other things like this in other timelines or in other dimensions. But here, no, this is unique, as far as I know. I mean, I'm sure there could be something like this I never heard of, but I doubt it. How did this all come to be? Well, it was that that train in Jersey City. And the other name I had for the show was Night Scans, but I decided to go with The Overnightscape. So, yeah, this is a non-commercial project. We're very focused on preserving this show on into the far future. And thanks for listening. And now that you know about it, wherever or whenever you are, maybe you can help preserve the audio archive and the book and the project. And I think this can move forward into the future. And people could be listening thousands of years from now. Oh, my God, another person driving way too fast. What the hell? They have a Trump flag on the back of their car. Who has a flag? I don't care what kind of flag. Who has a flag on the back of their car? Jeez, man. Anyways, your voice can be in this archive. There's a show put out each month by Dave in Kentucky called Overnightscape Central. It's the 10th of the month is the deadline. So tomorrow is the deadline. I'll have to record mine tomorrow. My entry for the show. You may not have much time for that one. The next one is all about the functions of the body, eating, sleeping, and eliminating. But you can always go to OnSug.com, find the most recent episode of Overnightscape Central, and there you will find the topics of which you can record on one, two, or all three of them, and send your audio to Dave, K-Y at mail.com, D-A-V-E-K-Y at mail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Anyways, as I said, I have to go to the supermarket, and hopefully there won't be any flying garbage cans. This is a very, very windy day. It's been windy like every day for a while now. Look at that Christmas tree. It still hasn't fallen over, but it's so precariously balanced there on the... what is that stuff like you have on the side of your house, like little pieces of wood? Is that like... What do they call that? Peat? It's not peat moss. Cedar? No. It's a certain name for it. I can't remember. You know what I'm talking about? That stuff you put... Mulch? Is it mulch? I don't know if it's mulch. Maybe, I think it may be a type of mulch. I don't know. But anyway. It's cold out here. Let us now head to warmer climes of cosmic awareness, an audio wonderland of treats and treasures and all sorts of fun stuff, known as The Other Side.
Tim Fowley is the ultimate underground animal.
Easy. Here it comes, baby. Are you ready for it?
Your name is Bubblegum. Live for moon and sun. Young and so much fun. Life's just begun. Life's just begun.
Tim Fowley.
Tim Fowley is a fourth dimensional force.
Young and so much fun. Life's just begun.
Tim Fowley is outrageous on Imperial Records.
Outrageous!
Tim Fowley.
Outrageous!
Tim Fowley.
Outrageous!
Imperial Records.
Outrageous!
Imperial Records.
Imperial
Records.
Closer, madam. I want to tell you about something your children will love. Monster vitamins. They're fun.
They're screaming meanie. Babbly back. Monster mobile.
Monsters taste terrific too, mother. Your children should get vitamins by eating right, but when they don't, mother, monsters and monsters plus iron sure help. My children love them. Right, kids?
Thank you. No, that's just between me and my analyst. Yeah, I'm fitting all the pieces together now. I'm beginning to think that while I was in Budapest, I was brainwashed or something. Yeah, to cover up some political activities here. Assassinations. No. What? You want to move here? Tonight? I just hope your Secret Service man never publishes a book. Maybe you better not. Oh, God. Please. Let me go through this.
Without you, you know, we want to make it. You know what I mean, don't you? Make it. Do it.
Capital steps. No, man, we really want to take a walk. Could you stay behind, you know, like 100 paces?
No, seriously, I want to make a phone call, Mr.
Murphy. Randy Murphy.
I'm going to go for a salad, okay?
Yeah, right.
Information? Yeah. Randy Murphy. He's somewhere in Georgetown, I think. Yeah. Right. Thank you.
Hello, Mrs. Murphy. This is the werewolf of Washington. I know just what you want.
Are they in, Debbie?
No, no. I left a message. They'll be back later, and I said that we followed.
Yeah, well, you ready to go? Look, come on, let's go.
Drink in my hand. I'm praying for something that I don't understand. with the old and in with the new.
I'd like some Camay, Mr. Rogers.
Oh, Miss Becker. Old Camay or new Camay?
What's the difference?
Old, twice as much lather in the new Camay. Super lathering Camay. So much more lather, so much more cream. Feel it.
Oh.
Twice as much lather.
I feel it.
Twice as much cream.
I feel it.
Imagine all that lather putting all that cream on your skin, Miss Becker.
Oh, I feel it. I feel it.
Lucille?
New Super Lathering Camay. Twice the lather, twice the cream. To believe it, you've got to feel it.
Imagine deliberately trying to scorch a good shirt. But we'll prove Easy On Speed Starch, the no build-up starch, is really different. We'll spray Easy On here, another leading starch here. We'll use identical irons at identical heat. Starches can build up, cause scorching. But Easyon's formula with GE silicones prevents buildup, resists scorching. Now look, what a difference. Easyon resists scorching. It's the no buildup starch, Easyon Speed Starch. Try it today.
Tucker Power is the power of the hour. Tucker Power means your breath is really clean.
Use Lavoris and your pucker power clean. Lavoris has a special ingredient that scrubs your breath so fresh, so clean, your mouth actually puckers.
The pucker lasts a minute, but the cleaning power in it lasts for hour after hour. Pucker power! Use Lavoris and your pucker power clean.
At Household Finance, money isn't everything. In the gay 90s, there were some who knew man could fly. And there was a beer that matched this confident spirit, Pabst Blue Ribbon. Pabst was brewed for men who really liked their beer. A beer that never left them feeling too full. Pabst Blue Ribbon. It hasn't changed. Blue Ribbon is still brewed today the old-time premium way. It's the only beer in America with good old-time flavor. Good old-time flavor. No other beer has it. Original Pabst Blue Ribbon. Brewed by the first of the great Milwaukee brewers. Here at popular prices.
Washing your hair again?
Well, it's dirty. From sprays, setting gels.
Do you dare wash it so often?
Sure, with Johnson's Baby Shampoo. It's gentle enough to use every day. Babies your hair. It's like you were a little girl again. With that baby-like softness born in your hair. It's lively. Manageable.
Really shined.
You ought to use Johnson's Baby Shampoo. It's gentle enough to use every day.
They asked me to tell you about the Toyota Corolla. To start with, the Toyota Corolla has a POE price of only $1,726. And you know what you get for $1,726? Well, you get about 28 miles a gallon with a 73 horsepower engine. And you get a chassis that never needs a lubrication, an engine with five main bearings and vinyl upholstery and plush nylon carpeting and undercoating and wheel covers and a cigarette lighter, all standard equipment. Oh, and one other thing, the Toyota Corolla has bucket seats. Reclining bucket seats, which they tell me are comfortable. Very comfortable. See your nearby Toyota dealer and get your hands on a Toyota. You'll never let go.
Freedom began.
girl, and every dress you're wearing got my head in a whirl. Know that you got it, and with time I'll move it out here. Nothing can come in to a man covered in hair. We'll slice open tonight just as moon is on the rise. We'll bark and howl, scratch your body, tear off our clothes. And when the night is closing and the light is on the rise, we'll cross that desk and kiss and play you goodbye. Know that your body and with time on moving our hair. That you're riding, real time moves in our hair. We'll crawl out your world into each other's skin. We'll live a life of desperate and murder and sin. We'll live a life of years and we'll find in our mind. We'll live a life of self and nobody else. Know that you're riding, real time moves in our hair. Nothing can compare to a man covered in hair.
Covered in hair.
Covered in hair.
Covered in hair.
Baby, I'm a woman man for you, girl. And that red dress you're wearing got my head in a whirl. Know that you're my land, the real time bones in our head. Nothing can compare to a man the way you're.
It's a lot of people to run an Air Force, and we have the best.
Take a breath. Welcome to tonight's meeting of the AF of L. No, the Association for the Furtherance of Lycanthropy. Tonight, we're happy to chronicle the work of our chapters in the mountainous region of Tibet and in the more fashionable section of London. We're very proud of the work our people have been doing, particularly in England. You'll find that out from this report of the Werewolf of London.